الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class, we were discussing the issue with regards to the intention for the fasting. The intention for the fasting. And we're speaking specifically about the intention for the obligatory fast. The fast of the month of Ramadan, even more specific. And we have seen likewise that with regards to the obligatory fast, it's an obligation to have the intention the night before the fast. And that is because from the pillars of fasting, as we have seen, is the intention. We have seen from the definition of fasting that it is at-ta'abbudu lillah, azza wa jal, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek to draw near to Him. Min shakhsin maqsus, from a specific individual. Bil imsaki an al-mufattirat, from refraining from everything that breaks the fast. Min tulu' al-fajri ila ghurub al-shams, from the rising of the fajr until the setting of the sun, bi niyyah, with the intention. Meaning with the intention of fasting that day. So the people of knowledge have clarified from this definition that siyam lahu ruknani azimani. It has two major pillars. Some of the people of knowledge, they describe them as faradan, faradani, and wajiban. That there are two great obligations, and the fast is not established except by way of them. Any pillars of fasting, that if one of them or both of them is not present, then the fast would not be present likewise. Meaning it would not be accepted, nor would it be correct. And it would not be considered a legislative fast. And that is at imsak, first and foremost, that one, he must make the imsak from the food and the drink and everything that invalidates the fast in the prescribed time, which is described likewise in that definition, min tulu' al-fajr ila ghurub al-shams. And likewise, the second pillar, an obligation is to have the intention. So in order to have the intention to refrain from everything that breaks the fast for the entire day, that intention must be present before the coming of the day. Before the coming of the day, before the rising of the fajr. Because if the fajr has risen, then the day has begun. And the one who did not intend before the rising of the fajr, then there will be a portion of that day that has gone by and he did not have the intention to fast. And it's an obligation to fast from the rising of the fajr until the setting of the sun. فَكُولُوا وَشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ ثُمَّ أَتِمُّ الصِّيَامَ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ. So this is the case here. So for the obligatory fast, the person, he must intend the night before, for the fasting of the next day, in order to be considering fasting that entire day. And this is the case with the obligatory fast. And we have seen the evidences for this from the hadith of Hafsa. The hadith of Hafsa radiallahu anha, which is collected by Abi Dawood and likewise at-Tirmidhi and an-Nasa'i. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَنْ لَمْ يُبَيِّدْ السِّيَامَ قَبَلَ الْفَجْرِ فَلَا سِيَامَ لَهُ. That whoever did not make the intention at night time, بَيِّدْ يَنِي مِنْ الْبَيْتُوتَ, يَنِي to make it at night time. Whoever did not intend to fast at night time before the rising of the fajr, then he has no fast. Meaning that his fast is not considered legislative. It's not correct and it will not be accepted. In one wording, in Sunan Ibn Majah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا سيامة بمن لم يفرضه من الليل. That there is no fast for the one who did not make his intention in the night time. So this is the case with regards to the obligatory fast. The obligatory fast is different types. The greatest and the most obligatory is the fast of the month of Ramadan. But likewise, there are other obligatory fasts, like the fast for the kafarat, the fast which would be performed for a specific expiation of some type of action that a person had performed. And this would be an obligation for him to fulfill. And likewise, if he made an oath, this would be considered likewise an obligatory fast. So the intention, it must be before the following day in all of these affairs. Sawm Ramadan and the fast of Ramadan, ada'an wa qada'an. Ada'an wa qada'an. Ada'an meaning that he's performing it in the daytime of Ramadan. He must have the intention the night before. Or even if he's making up a day that he missed from Ramadan, outside of Ramadan, this is an obligatory fast. This is an obligatory fast. Somebody who missed a fast from last year, for example, from Ramadan because they are traveling or because they were sick, then it's incumbent for him to make up that day now. To make up that day now. And that's an obligation. And the fast of that day that he's making up is an obligatory fast. So therefore, the intention it must be in the nighttime before the Fajr. It must be in the nighttime before the Fajr. Likewise, the one who had the kafara or the one who had made an oath to fast. All of these are examples of that. With regards to the fast of Ramadan, the people of knowledge, they differed. And we've seen these issues in the previous class, but they're very important. And we just passed by them briefly in the end of the class. So we repeat them. And the people of knowledge, they say, matakarrar, karra, whatever is repeated, then it will become firm and it will be established and it will remain with you. So the people of knowledge, they differ with regards to the fast of Ramadan, whether it suffices to have the intention to fast the whole month at the beginning of the month, or whether it's an obligation to fast every single night before the following day, to have the intention to fast the night before every following day. And Allah knows best what is the strongest in this affair. The strongest position is that it's an obligation to have the intention every night. Before the following day. And this is because of these narrations here from Hafsa radiallahu anha. And likewise, because every single day in Ramadan is a single act of worship in itself. Every single day is a new day, and every fast is a new fast. And the reward of that day is a single reward that he will have. And the opportunity that he has for that day to fast and to gain the reward of fasting of that day is specific to that day. And the day after that is different. So each day is considered its own day and its own single act of worship, although all of them in entirety are fasting the month of Ramadan. And the case is, if he were to, yarhamukallah, if he were to break his fast one day and fast the next day, his fast of Ramadan will still be good. Or if he were to do have some deficiency in the fast in one day and to rectify his fast in another day, and even each day would be separately, and the reward would be different according to the days and the actions of those days. So each day is its own single day, and then all of them together, they make up the month of Ramadan. So from this aspect, each day requires its own intention. Some of the people of knowledge, they have considered Ramadan to be one act of worship from the beginning to the end. So from this aspect, they mentioned that it suffices to have the intention in the beginning to fast the whole month. So this is something that the people of knowledge, they differed about. So the safest position for a believer is just to intend, no doubt, in the beginning, to fast every day, any so long as he's alive. And rather, he would have the intention to fast every year. And this is the case of a believer. He would have the intention to fast every year, so long as he's alive and healthy. Just as he would have the intention to perform all of the obligations, and so long as he's alive. And he would have the intention to establish the five daily prayers, five times a day, and so long as he's alive. And he would have the intention to avoid and stay away from fornication, and to stay away from alcohol, and all of the prohibitions, all his life. But every single day he's facing a challenge, and he's facing the trials of that day, and therefore he has to establish that. And at each prayer, he has to gather his intention and his sincerity, and gather his heart and mind and focus to make that sincerity for the sake of Allah in the best manner. So likewise, with regards to the fast. So we have the intention to fast the whole month, but every single night, he should have the intention to fast the next day. And in reality, it's not something that is difficult. And it's not something that should overcome the mind of a believer and bring difficulty into his fast. And if this ever happens in the life of a believer, that the actions of worship become difficult, then he's doing something wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned about the fast specifically, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ, that Allah, he wants ease for you and he does not want hard for you. And the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal is a facilitated legislation, and it's easy in itself. You need to follow and to abide by. But if a person, he goes to extremes and he transgresses the limits in that, then it will overpower him and it will overcome him. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ هَذَا الدِّينَ يُسْرٌ وَلَنْ يُشَادَ هَذَا الدِّينَ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا غَلَبَهُ. And indeed, this religion is easy, it's facilitated. It's not hard to follow if one is sincere and he learns the legislative laws and the prescribed limits properly and he strives to abide by them. It requires sincerity and determination and striving and trust and reliance upon Allah. But it's not hard. It's not hard. It's not difficult. The creed is not difficult. Rather, it's easy to believe that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. It's easy to believe that there are angels that Allah has created that have functions that they perform at the command of Allah. It's easy to believe that there are prophets and messengers all throughout mankind who are sent with guidance and direction and revelation. It's easy to believe that we will be resurrected and that we will stand before Allah and held accountable for our statements and deeds. It's easy to believe these affairs. It's easy to believe these affairs. Any of the creed is easy. And likewise, the legislation is easy. You have to pray five times a day. You don't have to pray all day long. The prayer doesn't have to be 30 minutes. Rather, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 times all throughout the day. It's something that's facilitated and easy. You have to fast only 1 month. Not all night and all day, only in the daytime. Not all year, not 6 months, not half the year, just 1 month. You have to make pilgrimage one time. And all of these affairs here are if you're able to. If you're able to. If you can't stand while you're praying, then you sit down. If you can't sit down, then you lay down. And the likes like this. If you're not able to fast, then you wait until you are able and you break your fast. And if a person is sick and he's not able to fast at all, then he will feed on behalf of that. So the religion is facilitated and easy. وَلَنْ يُشَادَ هَذَا الدِّينَ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا غَلَبَهُ وَلَنْ يُشَادَ هَذَا الدِّينَ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا غَلَبَهُ. And nobody will try to take the religion forcefully. Try to take it forcefully and take hold of it and go to extremes with it, except it will overcome him. And from the greatest means of that is the issue with the intention. The issue with the intention. So many people, they go to extremes in the intention and the worship becomes hard on them and heavy for them and difficult for them and becomes bothersome for them because of the intention. This is a sign that they're doing something wrong. This is a sign that the shaitan, he's playing with them. And he is disturbing them, and that they are affected by him. They are affected by him. So the intention for fasting is very easy. He will just intend, it will cross his mind any time in the nighttime that tomorrow he's going to fast for the sake of Allah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Any time in the nighttime, if this crosses his mind, he doesn't have to say to himself, "I'm going to fast tomorrow, the fast of Ramadan, on the first day of Ramadan, on Yom al-Ithnain, for the sake of Allah alone." This is all misguidance. This is all not required. None of this is ever established in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nor in his companions. The intention is in the heart. So a person, he will have the intention to fast tomorrow for the sake of Allah. Like this, if it crosses his mind. And there are signs that indicate that he has the intention. From those signs is that he has changed his schedule in his day. That he's changed his schedule in his day. For example, now instead of eating breakfast in the normal time that he would eat, he's going to take his morning meal early before the fajr. So he has intention to eat in the morning before the rising of the sun. This is called the sahur. We will discuss these affairs bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. This is a sign he has the intention. This is a sign he has the intention that the food is being prepared or is thought of being prepared. Even if he didn't prepare it, he had the intention to prepare the food. Or he has the food purchased and the likes like this for the morning. Or it is already prepared for him in the refrigerator. Or he has set his alarm at another time, any earlier than before, earlier than normal, in order to get up and the likes like this. All of this is a sign he has the intention. Is a sign he has the intention to fast the next day. For example, some of them, maybe he will take suhoor. Himself, he will be eating in the morning. And then he will hear the adhan, and then next thing you know, he will, did I have the intention? Next thing you know, here's the adhan, and he's doubting to himself, did I make the intention? Did I make the intention? This right here is completely wrong. How is it wrong?
Because he ate
suhoor. Why are you eating suhoor for? Exactly. Yeah, somebody, for example, he finds himself in the right lane, driving on the road. So, did I have the intention to get in the right lane? And the fact that you came into the right lane, you put your blinker on and you turn right, this is an indication that you have the intention to go there. So the people of not, as they say, for a sound-minded person to do something without an intention, this is very difficult. This would be considered requiring the people to do something they're not able to do. and to perform deeds throughout life without any intention. To go through life, to get money, to get married, to eat, and to drink, and the likes like this without an intention. Try to do it. This is requiring somebody to do something that they do not have the ability to do. A person, he will not have the ability to go throughout his day without having the intention to do anything. So everything that a person is doing in his life, he's doing it with an intention, with a desire. Any that he wants to do, he's doing it because he wants that. And except for affairs maybe that happen on accident. Yani whenever he's not intending, like no doubt about that. But the fact that he is up in the morning eating food and the likes and drinking before the Fajr, this is not an accident. This is not an accident. So a person should not be deceived by the devil with regards to these affairs. He should not be deceived by the devil with regards to these affairs. So these are all signs that he has the intention. This is with regards to the obligatory fast. As for the non-obligatory fast, then it's allowed to have the intention after the rising of the Fajr. And this is because the evidences have come clarifying this. And it's been collected by the Imam Muslim from the Haditha Aisha radiallahu anha, that she said, دَخَلَ عَلَيَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ ذَاتَ يَوْمٍ فَقَالَ هَلْ عِنْدَكُمْ شَيْءٌ فَقُلْنَا لَا قَالَ فَإِنِّي إِذًا صَائِمٌ Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he came to us one day, and he in our home, and he said, do you have anything, meaning any food? And so she said, no, we don't have any food. So she said, no, we don't have any food, radiallahu anha. This is the home of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Which one of us ever went inside our house and asked our family if we have any food, and they said, no, we have no food at all. We have no food at all. Not one of us experienced this. Alhamdulillah. Should we not show thanks? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he experienced this in his lifetime. And he is the Messenger of Allah. An indication that this worldly life means nothing. And that the property and the glitter of this life is not a sign of goodness. And had it been a sign of goodness, then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would have had all of that. But what he had was faith. What he had was iman. What he had was revelation. What the gift that he had and the favor that he had sallallahu alayhi wasallam was deen and sincere faith and obedience and humbleness and surrender and submission to the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, the meaning is, since there's no food, فَإِنِّي إِذًا صَائِمٌ, therefore that I'm going to fast. Therefore that I'm going to fast. And so he comes to his house, it's clearly in the daytime, and he's asking if there's any food. Whenever he found out there's no food, then he said, فَإِنِّي إِذًا صَائِمٌ. And the fast, and it means, so therefore, since that's the case, I'm going to fast. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that what is apparent here is that this is a non-obligatory fast. That this is a non-obligatory fast. The difference between this narration and the previous narration of Hafsa radiallahu anha is that her narration was with regards to the obligatory fast. And the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha is with regards to the non-obligatory fast. So the narration continues, and she says, ثُمَّ أَتَانَا يَوْمًا آخَرٌ ثُمَّ أَتَانَا يَوْمًا آخَرٌ فَقُلْنَا أُهْدِيَ لَنَا حَيْسٌ فَقَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ أَرِينِيهِ فَلَقَدْ أَسْبَحْتُ صَائِمًا فَأَكَلَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ. And then she says, and then he came to us another day. She told him, صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ, that we have been given a gift of some food. It's called حَيْس. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, show it to me. Indeed, I woke up this morning fasting. And then he ate it. And then he ate it. And this is another benefit that the one who is as-sa'im al-mutatawwi' amiru nafsihi. Al-mutatawwi' amiru nafsihi. The sa'im, the fasting person who is fasting a non-obligatory fast, he is in charge of himself. If he wants to continue fasting, he's allowed to. And if he wants to break his fast, he's allowed to. He's allowed to. So this is the difference between the two. This point is clear. There's another benefit here. We see that both of these narrations are from two of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is a great benefit from the wisdom of why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam had a number of wives. And this is clear here. An example of that, and that is that they narrate to the ummah. They narrate and clarify to the ummah the detailed and hidden affairs that occur in his home. Each one of them is narrating some of the detailed manners of his sunnah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that occur in their homes whenever the eyes of his companions are not watching. Anyone ever, no one else is around. And each one of them is transmitting to the Ummah a great portion of the life and the biography and the laws and legal ways and the limits that were revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also this was as well a wisdom from the reason why Aisha radiallahu anha, she was so young. She was so young because of her sharp mind and because of the fact that she's young, and many times the youth, they have they're a bit naive, and they'll ask questions. And they'll ask questions that many people may be shy to ask. And the likes like this, any out of curiosity. And also their memorization is sharp and bright. And we see that from the most knowledgeable of the women of this ummah is our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. So she is faqiha, faqiha to Islam, yani the faqiha of Islam. So there's great wisdoms in these affairs that some of the disbelievers and the enemies of Islam, they try to cast doubts in the hearts of the believers with regards to, but knowledge is a light, and it will remove and do away with those doubts and bring back certainty in its place. And this is from having sound and proper knowledge that is from the sources that are correct, from the scholars of the Sunnah. So this is from those benefits that the people of knowledge, they mention with regards to the likes of these narrations. We mentioned previously likewise the intention of Ramadan, even from those, for example, they say one intention would be sufficient. One intention would be sufficient. Even those who have this position, they mention the exception here. And that is so long as he did not intend to break the intention. So long as he did not intend to break the intention. For example, somebody intended to fast the whole month of Ramadan, and then he traveled for 2 days in Ramadan, and then after 2 days he returned. So while he's traveling, he intended to break his fast because he's a traveler and he's allowed to do that. So now that original intention that he had to fast the whole month had been broken. So therefore, whenever he wants to fast again, he needs to restart the fast. Along with that, he will restart the intention. And there's no difference about this. There's no difference of opinion about this. So even those who mention that it's allowed to have one intention through the end, then until the end of Ramadan, then even in this circumstance, they mentioned it's an obligation to renew the intention. So this would be the case of the person who traveled, or of the person who was sick and broke their fast because of a sickness, or in the case of a person who, a woman who was on her menses or on nifas, and the likes like this, or even somebody who broke his intention without an excuse. He's going to renew. He's going to begin fasting to renew the fast after breaking it. He has to renew the intention. He has to renew the intention. There's only one place where this the difference of this opinion would be apparent, and whether he had the intention for the whole month or for each night individually. There's only one time that this would actually and it be apparent, and the rulings would be based upon that. When would that be?
Literally intending it the first time, Yania, because the actions will be the same, because they do suhoor, they do things to show that they are fasting without renewing intention every night.
Sah. But when would this be apparent, Yani, in the legislative meaning? Like, meaning, when would rulings be based upon this intention? When would there a ruling come about that would differentiate between these affairs? And in what circumstance would that be in? You understand what I'm trying to say? Yes? Ma fahamta? Mata yadhhar al-khilaf? Thamarat al-khilaf? What's the benefit of this, of the difference of opinion here? So we have one opinion that says that you can fast, you have one intention to fast the whole month. This is sufficient. The others say no, you have to have the intention to every single night, before every day, you have to have the intention. One intention is not going to suffice. Whether you have to intend every night before the following day. When is the fruit of the difference of this opinion? When would this be displayed? When would it be seen?
Is when a person makes the intention in the beginning, and he forgets to make the intention every night.
No. In the origin, he doesn't have. In their position, in the origin, he doesn't have to make the intention every night. He makes it one time.
Right.
If you break the fasting,
uh-huh.
when was making niyyah to whole month,
uh-huh.
Is anything can happen. to break in the fast, so you have to.
Renew.
That's the benefit for those people who say every night.
But they all agree that you would have to renew. Anyone who broke his fast, he's going to have to renew his intention. So any ثَمَرَةِ الْخِلَافِ, when is the fruit of this difference of opinion is going to be seen? And how it would be known? Because normally, when he has the intention to fast all month, and he has the intention to renew it every night, and they keep going at the end of Ramadan, and nobody sees a difference. That there's no difference, yani there's no benefit derived from this or seen from this in the legislative rulings, except in one circumstance.
Traveling?
No. 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 It's in a situation of a person. If he went to sleep before Maghrib and he didn't wake up until after Fajr. He didn't wake up after Fajr. If a person, he went to sleep before Maghrib and he didn't wake up until after Fajr, did he make the intention at nighttime? No, he didn't make the intention at nighttime. The people of knowledge who mentioned that it's allowed to make the intention from the beginning to the end, then would his fast be considered correct? Would he continue fasting? The person, he went to sleep before Maghrib. Before Maghrib, and he just was overcome. He slept all night long. He woke up after Fajr. Can he fast?
Yes.
Can he fast?
Yes.
Upon this opinion, he can fast. Upon the opinion that it's sufficient to have one intention for the whole month, yes. On this position, he will fast, and his fast will be good. Yes. On the position that it's not sufficient, this general intention, or this encompassing intention is not sufficient. You have to have one. You have to have an intention for every day, specifically the night before. Then this person, he slept all night long. How could he have an intention?
Exactly.
He didn't have an intention. So therefore, that day will not count for him. He will have to make that day up. So this is the fruit of this difference. This is when we will see the fruit of the difference here. You understand?
Yes.
This is when it's going to be shown. This is when it's going to be shown. So because of this, the strongest or the safest opinion. We've seen the strongest based upon, and Allah knows best, the evidences, but in any case, the safest opinion is to have the intention every night. And that doesn't mean that a person is going to go to extremes in the intention, rather he's going to prepare the suhoor for himself every night. He has the intention to take suhoor,
right.
Yani every morning, like this. And every night in his mind, he's going to take suhoor in the morning. He has the food, he's bought the food, he's prepared the food, it's there for him, and the likes like this, his wife or his family or himself is taking care of that, it's being prepared, or he's going to be prepared. All of this is already in his mind.
Yes.
This is the intention.
That's the intention.
This is the intention. This is the intention.
So even if you forget the night before to make the intention in your heart, but you intend to get up for supper.
That's the intention.
That's the intention.
That's the intention. You didn't forget.
Right.
How could you forget and you have the intention to get up for suhoor?
Right. So
that's like what people. Some people, they do like this. They stand. They have. They went and made wudu. Some of them even went and made wudu, and they left their house. They came all the way to the masjid, and then they stand in their ranks with their foot next to their brother, and they're facing the qibla. And the imam, he said Allahu Akbar, and then they say Allahu Akbar, and they raise their hands to their sides, and then they put their hands here, and then he says, did I make the intention? And then what he'll do? He'll do it again. You're like, well, what happened? I thought we just made some people that do that. He'll make takbir, and then you're standing there, and all of a sudden he made takbir again. This is from shaitan. How the fact that he made wudu, he left his home, he's standing in the rank, he's facing the qibla, he's behind the imam, his foot is next to his brother, he raised his hands, he said, Allahu Akbar, what else does he want to do? It's dhuhr time. And do you think he wants to pray Fajr? It's Dhuhr time. He doesn't want to pray Fajr. It's Dhuhr time. It's Dhuhr time. He wants to pray Dhuhr. So all of this here, this extremism and the intention, this is from the devil. This is from the waswas of shaitan. This is something that will, if it comes into the heart of a person, sometimes it's hard to get away. And the only way to get rid of that is to not pay any attention to it whatsoever. Whenever the whispers affect a person, the only way they will go away is if you do not listen to them. If you do not listen to them, you have to treat those whispers like a madman walking behind you, calling you names or talking to you. If there's a madman behind you, somebody who's literally, he's insane, he does not know what he's saying. It doesn't matter what he says to you. Somebody who he's truly mad, he's medically insane. And then he says some things to you. Will you pay attention to what he's saying? some good things to you, he praises you. Is he gonna say, does it? He talks bad about you. It's not going to affect you whatsoever because the man he's mad. He doesn't know what he's saying. So the only way to get away from these whispers is to treat those whispers like bad men, and you don't pay any attention to them. Meaning you do not build any ruling on them. You do not build. He said, "Oh, you don't have wudu. Oh, you forgot your. You just don't listen to him." Even the people of knowledge, as they mentioned, the person who has been disturbed by them in this manner, even if in reality he didn't truly have the wudu right, he's excused because he's sick. He's excused in this situation because he's sick. So the only way to get rid of those whispers is to not. Is to not listen to them. And what it means to not listen to them, لا تبني عليها أحكاما, that you do not base, you do not base any movements upon them or any rulings based upon them. You don't act by way of them. You don't entertain them whatsoever. You seek refuge with Allah from the devil, and truthfully with your heart, and you don't listen to them. You don't listen to them, and بإذن الله تعالى they'll go away. They'll go away. But so long as the person he listens to them, they will come and they will get stronger. And they will get stronger. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. This is something that likewise is very important. So after this, the author, he begins now discussing the issue of as-suhur. He says, عَنْ أَنَسِ بْنِ مَالِكٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ عَنْ أَنَسِ بْنِ مَالِكٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تسحروا فإن في السحور بركة. The author, he mentioned the narration of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, تسحروا يعني قولوا واشربوا في وقت السحر, في وقت السحر, to eat. تسحروا, this is a command, meaning to take the food at the time of a sahar. A sahar is a special or is a specific portion of the night. A sahar is a specific portion of the night. And it's the very last portion before the rising of the fajr. It's the very last portion of the night before the rising of the fajr. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's ordering to make the sahur at this time, to eat at this time. تسحروا فإن في السحور بركة. Because indeed in the sahur there is blessing, there is baraka. Baraka diniyu wa baraka dunyawiyya. There is religious blessing, and likewise there's a worldly blessing as well. فَإِنَّ فِي السَّحُورِ baraka, يعني خَيْرٌ كَثِيرٌ ثَابِتًا. That's what it means. Baraka, meaning there's much goodness. There's much great goodness in taking this meal. So this word here, it can be read in two manners. فَإِنَّ فِي السَّحُورِ. السَّحُور بِفَتْحِ السِّينِ. بفتح السين, with the fatha on the seen. السحور. Also it can be read with a dhamma, بضم السين. To call السحور. السحور. So السحور والسحور. And this is something that is common on the scale of فعول وفعول. In the Arabic language is on scales. Many times it has scales, and these scales, they have meanings. And each scale has a different meaning than the other. So whenever the word, the noun is on the scale of فعول, this is an indication of the thing that the action is being performed with. And whenever it's on the scale of fu'ul, this is an indication of the action itself being performed. The action itself being performed. So, as-sahur huwa al-ta'am alladhi yutasaharu bihi. As-sahur with the fatha on the scene is the food that a person he would eat itself. The food the person he takes and eats itself, this is called sahur. The food and the drink that the person is enjoying himself and eating and the likes like this is called sahur with the fatha on the scene. As for as-suhur, it's an at-tasahur, and the actual action of taking that food. The people of knowledge, there are benefits from this narration based on both understandings. فَإِنَّ فِي السَّحُورِ بَرَكَةً, that indeed in that food that you take is blessing. وَإِنَّ فِي السُّحُورِ, in the action of taking that food is blessing. And in both aspects there's blessing. The food itself is blessed. And taking the food at that time in that manner, likewise, is a means of obtaining the blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many examples in the Arabic language like this, like tahur and tuhur. Al-tahur is the water, is the ma. Al-ma, alladhi yutataharu bihi. That's called tahur. Ma'un tahurun. You say with a fatha on the ta. As for tuhur, al-tuhur shatul iman. Al-tuhur, yani al-tahara, or tatahur. Making the action of tahara. So with the dhamma is the action What the fatha is the thing that the action is done with. Is the thing that the action is done with. Likewise, al-wudu. Al-wudu is to make wudu. Al-wudu, yani tawaddu. Yani tatawadda. Wudu. Wudu. And wal-wadu. Al-wadu, with a fatha, is the water. Al-ma, alladhi yutawadda'u bihi. Like in the hadith of Uthman, fa'ata bi wadu'ihi. They brought him his wadu, yani the water that he's going to make wudu with. Likewise, al-wakud. Al-wakud. فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُود وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ الْوَقُود الْوَقُود with the fatha is the fuel that the fire is ignited by way of, and الْوَقُود is the action of igniting the fire, is the action of igniting the fire. Likewise, سَعُود سَعُود and سُعُود, yani the سَعُود is the medication you put in your nose, and the سُعُود is the action of taking that medication. So these are some examples. There are others. There are others. Any of this scale in the Arabic language. The point now is as-sahur. What does that mean? As-sahur is the food. Ahsant. What suhur is the action. So in both of them there is barakah. That's barakah. Any khayran kathiran thabita. That there is much blessing. Blessing in the religion, in the religious aspect, and blessing in the worldly. And the worldly aspect. So here in this narration, it's clear the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has ordered to take the sahur. The people of Najd, as they have mentioned, that it's the ruling of sahur, or taking the of sahur, is that it's recommended. It's mustahab. It's not an obligation, but it's something that a believer he should not leave. It's something that a believer he should not leave, and this is something that is encouraged. And the order to perform this sunnah is to take food and drink at that time. Is to take the food and the drink at the time of as-sahar. At the time of as-sahar. As-sahar is the last period of the night before the fajr. Is the last period of the night before the fajr. Any 30 minutes, 15, 20 minutes like this in this time here, this is the time of the sahar. This is the time of the sahar. The last portions of the night before the rising of the fajr. So the one who's eating the food, for example, at the middle of the night, he's not actualizing the sunnah. He's not following the sunnah. The sunnah here is not to eat food in the middle of the night. Rather, the sunnah is to eat food in the end of the night. The next narration that author is going to mention, rahimahullah, will clarify that it's the suhoor, that the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in making the suhoor is that it will be at the very last moments, up to the very last moments before the rising of the fajr, before the rising of the fajr. So there's a consensus with regards to the fact that it's mustahab, it's not an obligation. And Nawawi, he mentioned that, and likewise Ibn al-Mundhir and Nawawi, they mentioned that. And the aspect of how there's blessing, the blessing that comes from here, فَإِنَّ فِي السَّحُورِ بَرَكَةً أو فَإِنَّ فِي السُّحُورِ بَرَكَةً, that indeed in this action or in this food, there is blessing. And the people of Najd clarify that the blessing it occurs in a number of manners. From the religious aspect is that a person he is obeying Allah and following His Messenger. He is obeying Allah and following His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And taking the suhoor, there is ta'atullahi wa tiba'u rasulihi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How is that? Ta'atullah wa tiba'u rasulihi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And taking the suhoor, this is obedience to Allah and following His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How's that? Naam. Man ata'a ar-rasul faqad ata'a Allah. Because whoever obeys the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then indeed he has obeyed Allah. This is what Allah He mentioned in His book. In Surah An-Nisa. Likewise, Allah He says, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. And the obligation to obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran has been mentioned. And the Qur'an has been mentioned many times. So here we see in this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, تَسَحَرُوا. And this is a commandment. This is an order from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Although there's a consensus that it's not an obligatory order, it's a recommended order. So to comply to that for the sake of Allah azza wa jal, this is considered an act of obedience to Allah. Because obedience to the Messenger of Allah in reality is obedience to Allah. obedience to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in reality obedience to Allah. So therefore, in taking this suhoor is ta'atullahi wa tiba'u rasulihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is from the greatest barakah. From the greatest blessing is that a person who will be given success to obey Allah and to follow His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in doing this, this is a means to accomplish that. This is a means to accomplish that, and that is from a taqwa. And this is another reason why fasting is from the greatest means to increase a person in taqwa and in sincere faith and piety, and to cultivate that in his heart. Likewise, a believer at this time as well, he should remember that the actions are by way of the intention. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. That the intentions are based upon the actions, and every person, he would have what he intended. And a person, whenever he takes the sahur, he would take that with the intention of obeying Allah. Of obeying Allah. And likewise, following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the intention likewise of taking the preparation for the day of fasting. Of taking the preparation for the day of fasting. So these things should be in his mind whenever he's up for the sahur. These things, whenever he's taking that food, whenever he's enjoying that food, maybe it's tasty. Maybe he's enjoying himself, and maybe it's something nice. Maybe he's drinking something that's good and quenching to his thirst and the likes like this. It has a delicious taste. All of this is something that's beneficial for himself and for his soul. But a believer, he will not be heedless of this affair. He's taking this sahur as an action of worship. And he's preparing himself for a day of fasting to fulfill a pillar from the pillars of his deen. To fulfill a pillar from the pillars of his deen. So therefore, whenever he's eating, he'll eat in the manner of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will say Bismillah. And he will eat with his right hand. And he will eat from the food that is close to him. And the likes like this. And the likes like this. And in this manner, he will gather between being sincere in the action and following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now this sahur is, and this eating and drinking of this food is considered a great action of worship and a means to draw near to Allah azza wa jal. And he will have the intention likewise to strengthen his soul and to strengthen his body, so that this food that's taken, especially in the proper manner at the last moments of the morning, will be a means to carry him throughout the day. It will be a means of nourishment and strength for his body by the permission of Allah azza wa jal to carry him throughout the rest of the day. As for the person, for example, he had some food in the middle of the night and he did not wake up, yani at the sahur time. And he took some food in the middle of the night, or at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock, and then he went to sleep, for example. And he had the intention to fast, so his fasting would be fine. But that food that he had taken, yani much of that, maybe the nourishment of that would be gone by the time yani the morning comes, before duha and the likes like this, especially if he's somebody who's active in the daytime. As for the one who delayed that to the last moments, which is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that nourishment will be with him longer, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, be a means to strengthen his body, and likewise his manners and conduct and his character. Because whenever a person becomes very hungry, he becomes very weak. And many times, if he does not check himself, he'll become very grumpy and rude as well. So all of this is a means here from the wisdom of the sahur and the wisdom of it being delayed to the last moments. There's great mercy in that. There's great mercy in that, and kindness in that, and goodness in that, and benefit in that. Like he's saying here, barakah. فَإِنَّ فِي السَّحُورِ barakah. In doing this, وَإِنَّ فِي السُّحُورِ barakah. In doing this is barakah. And in that food itself is barakah. Especially if a person has the likes of these intentions, remembering Allah Azza wa Jal, showing thanks to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, not wasting the food. Not wasting the food likewise, and not belittling the food, so on and so forth. Remembering the blessing of the food, taking that which is sufficient for him and good for him, and taking that which will suffice him, and not going to extremes or going overboard. All of this is from the means to truly have the barakah of the suhoor. So this is a great sunnah and a great way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Likewise, from the benefits of the barakah of the suhoor, getting up to perform this action, is that a person, he will be up at the time in the last third of the night, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he descends in a manner befitting his majesty. And it's mentioned in the authentic narration that Allah azza wa jal, he will say, is there anyone who is seeking my forgiveness so I can forgive them? Is there anyone asking me so that I can give them? And the likes like this. So this is an opportunity every night in Ramadan and outside of Ramadan, that a person a believer has, to be awake of that time. To be awake of that time, and to be from those who are their body is awake and their heart is awake, calling on Allah Azza wa Jal. Calling on Allah Azza wa Jal and begging for their needs. So the one who's getting up for suhoor, This is an opportunity for him to take advantage of that. And this is likewise something that we should remind ourselves and our family members in our homes with regards to. Because sometimes we'll get up for suhoor, but then we'll forget. We'll forget about this opportunity. The opportunity to make dua, the opportunity to call on Allah, the opportunity to make adhkar, and the opportunity to supplicate to Allah Azza wa Jalla and remember Him. And we'll be busy talking about worldly life, or busy about talking about this or about that, and wasting the time until the Fajr comes, and the likes like this, and not supplicating one time, or not seeking forgiveness one time. Rather, that those who seek forgiveness at this time, they are from those whom Allah has praised in His book. So to take advantage of the likes of these affairs, inshallah, we continue with this topic tomorrow. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.